Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that'll be plenty for today. What is faith? What is faith? I know a lot of people think that faith is that something, that nebulous something that you can grab a hold of and get healed. And that's part of faith. That's definitely a characteristic of faith. That's what faith will do. That's a result of faith. We're healed by faith. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. But just what is faith in a more complete definition of the word? Faith. Is faith that something that causes you to get healed? Is faith that something that causes you to become wealthy? Is that what faith is? Well, I mean, you're poor because you don't have faith. Jesus said, blessed are the poor. Sorry. Let the rich take warning, you know. But is faith something people think it is? Well, you go down to Oklahoma and you get an education in faith and you become wealthy. Wealthy. That's it. Is it faith that makes you successful? What's God concerned about when He gives us faith and when we begin to develop faith? What's behind it all? What is faith? Is faith that something you have that always delivers you from trouble and you never have a trial, you never have a temptation, you never have a problem, you never have a roadblock in front of you, an obstruction that keeps you from doing what you plan to do? Is that what faith is? Faith is that something that always delivers you from trouble? I read one man, I have the article on file by a man in Arizona who has one of these faith healing places. He died. But anyway, he wrote in this article, and I'd love to read it to you sometime. You're interested. It's a lengthy article. But he goes to lengths, great lengths, to explain why Paul was out of the will of God because he went to prison. And he used for his text, whom therefore the Son sets free, is free indeed. You know, if you're in prison, if you go to jail for preaching the gospel, you are out of the will of God. They teach that Paul lost the faith because here he is laying under the guillotine with his head in place and the sharpened blade is going to drop down and sever his head from his body. Well, he must be out of the will of God because he lost the faith. He didn't have faith. He must have lost the faith because he wasn't delivered out of his trouble. And he tells in that article what a terrible thing it is to walk with God all those years and then come down to the end of your life and the end of your ministry and the end of all the work that you have done for God, at the end of seeing all the miracles that you saw, and now you've lost your faith. You're in prison and you're going to have your head cut off. What is faith? Is faith something that promises that you will never have a bad day? You'll never have a problem? You'll never stub your toe, have a toothache, lose your hair, or whatever? No, is that what faith is? And I know a lot of us probably spend a lot of time praying about a lot of things that are taking their natural course, and we're going to overcome them through faith. I have news for everybody here. No matter how much faith you have, you will die. If Jesus doesn't come first, you go to my funeral or I'll go to yours. I told one man, he said, no, how can you say that? I said, because the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and I have faith in the Bible. It takes faith to believe you're going to die. It doesn't take a whole lot. Most people know that. They've resigned themselves to that. But there are people that think they can have enough faith to kind of just bypass that. And they're just going to be the special one. That's never going to happen to me. It couldn't happen here. Might happen to you. You might get old. You might become weak. And your step may falter and your eyes may dim and your hand may become shaky, but not me. But when we say that, we are robust. When we say that, we are younger and stronger. But as time takes its toll on the body, you find out that it usually comes to everybody. Everybody. Strong today, gone tomorrow. It happens all the time. So, I have faith in the Word of God. When Ecclesiastes talks about these things, when Solomon talks about these things. I have faith in the Word of God when the book of Hebrews says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, that death will come to every man, and that the judgment will come to every man. Now, if, and I've used this at work years ago when the customers would come in, the salesmen would come in, and we talk about death. That's not morbid. That's facing the future wisely. That's facing the facts. You will die. You will die. You may die of cancer. You may die from an accident. You may die from a gunshot, wound, whatever. But it is. That's not morbid, folks. Are you ready to die? Hallelujah. What's morbid about that, being ready to die? Like Jim Keeler says, you can't threaten me with heaven. You know? You can't threaten me with heaven. Praise the Lord. They're going to come in and take my life? Well, the next stop is heaven. So that's not morbid. I'd like to drive that thought out of our minds. It's not morbid to know something, to know that you're in a body infected with sin and it's corruptible and you will die. Do you have your house in order? Are you ready to die? That's the point. And if you're ready to die, you can walk on the clouds. You can walk on the clouds if you're ready. Didn't Brother Isaacson say it with his heart attack? His heart problem? He said, well, if I get healed, I can serve the Lord longer, and if I die, I'm with Jesus. You're in a no-lose situation. Amen. And that's the way a Christian fights the fight of faith. We fight our warfare from an undefeatable position. Amen. We cannot be defeated because we have faith. We know the truth. Yes. When you don't feel something, you better know something. Yes. Amen. You don't feel good, you better know something. Amen. Now, we believe in divine healing. Don't misunderstand me. And I say, hey, I think God would like for us to be strong and healthy until we die. I hope that's what He wants. Because I like to be strong and I like to be healthy and I like to be active. I like to be able to get up and get down and so on. Don't you? Don't you appreciate your health? The portion of health that God has given you? Amen. You can always look around if you're a little sick and find somebody sicker. If you're a little handicapped, you can find somebody a little more handicapped. Amen. If you're a paraplegic, you can look around and find a quadriplegic. You know, there's always somebody a little worse off than we are. So we got so much to be thankful for. Why doesn't God do this? Read your Bible. Have faith in the Bible. Have faith in the Word of God. So faith is not that something that always gets you healed and keeps you alive in this body forever and makes you wealthy and makes you successful and delivers you from every trouble. Now I'm not talking about many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. That's another avenue we'd have to take. I'm going down this avenue today, and I'd like for us all to understand where I'm going and why I'm going there. Because the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Look at the Apostle Paul. He kept the faith. That's what he said. He kept the faith. Now that sounds great, doesn't it? That sounds victorious. That sounds like Paul never had a bad day. Never went to jail. Never had the guillotine come down on his neck. No. it sounds so great. Paul's right at the end of his life and he says, I have kept the faith. Now, I say to myself, I'm glad I have a record of Paul's life. When I read words like, Paul speaks so victoriously and triumphantly, I have kept the faith. I'm glad I have a record of his life so I can see what all he went through. Then I can understand what he means when he says, I've kept the faith. He didn't say, I have kept the faith that I will never die. I have kept the faith that I'll never be persecuted. I have kept the faith that I'll never have a problem in my life. No, he didn't say that. No. Now, if I didn't have this record, I might have deceived myself into thinking something like that. But I thank God. I thank God for the record. But listen to what sounds so pathetic in the life of Paul. 2 Timothy 4:13. He's writing from prison in Rome, and Nero is the emperor. And he writes the cloak. He writes to Timothy, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring with thee. You know, he didn't say, transfer my CDs from the bank at Rome to the bank at Jerusalem. Interest rates just went up in Jerusalem. He didn't say that. He didn't say, cash in my bonds because the stock market's doing better. No, he didn't say that. He said, when you come, it's cold, it's cool, it's damp down here in this dungeon, in this prison. Would you bring my cloak when you come? Wow. That's when he was writing, I have kept the faith. He didn't lose the faith. I kept the faith. Amen. You want to read some more, Paul? Just 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. Listen to this. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. You see, I get the idea here that Phygellus and Hermogenes were ashamed of his chain. That is, his imprisonment. They probably had the idea that this fellow in Arizona had, you know, that he lost the faith. What's he doing here in prison? We're free. Paul wrote from prison and said, I'm bound, but the word of God's not bound. He had converts in prison. They of Caesar's household greet you. He wrote to the Philippians, praise the Lord, from Rome. And Paul said just before he died, I have kept the faith. But these people all turned away from me. I think he meant they were ashamed of my chain. So he says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. It seems like no matter how bad things get or how low you get, God sends an angel along. He'll send an Onesiphorus along. He'll send a friend along. I've had friends all my life. How about you? I've had friends all my life. I've had people, when I went to New York in the Army, I had friends. I went to Fort Riley, Kansas from a basic training. I had friends there. God gave me friends everywhere I went, people that I need. It seems like I've always had somebody to minister to my needs, like the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1. And God is good. Amen. So Paul won souls, and Paul wrote letters while he was in prison. Those letters we call epistles, the Apostle Paul. Paul kept the faith. In Hebrews 11:13, we're not there yet, but when we get there, we're going to read a verse that says, these all died in faith. They died in faith. We think faith keeps us alive sometimes. No, that's not the point. You're living for God. Look at all the apostles. Look at James. They killed him with the sword. Just look at all these things that happened. These all died in faith. You know, you live by faith and you die in faith. Yes. Having received not the promises. We're persuaded them and embraced them and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth and so on. They were from another country. Praise the Lord. These all died in faith. Oh my, I hope nobody's taken this to be morbid. It is not morbid. Because I'm going to tell you, somewhere along the line in your life, you're going to have some experiences. As you grow older and as you create your own experiences or other people create them for you. I knew a man years ago, a successful businessman from another town. And he died years ago. But he was a sinner, big time sinner. And I didn't know him then, but he got healed. He had a tremendous, absolutely indisputable, ungainsayable healing take place in his body. And he became a speaker in demand somewhat around the countryside. And he wrote a gospel tract and told about his healing there. I have the tract on file. And I won't mention his name today. I doubt if anybody here would know him. It's a long time ago. Most of you weren't saved then. But he got healed first, and then he got saved. And then he wrote this tract, and then he started speaking all over and giving his testimony of faith healing. And that's wonderful. I embraced him. I ran into him on a business place, and we began talking about the Lord. And he was a soul winner. He brought people to Jesus Christ. But then the years went by, and suddenly I got a hospital call. And could you come over to this place and see me? And so I went over and I walked in the room, and this one-time successful businessman looked at me and he started crying. He said, I don't understand. God, heal me. And here I am in the hospital, sick. I'm losing my faith. He said, look, they've amputated my leg. I'll never be the same. And we talked a while, and of course I prayed with him, and I said, brother, I'd like to tell you something. You keep repeating that you've lost your faith. I said, no, You lost your leg. You didn't lose your faith. You lost your leg. You didn't lose your faith. And I think before I left, I had him reclaimed, resaved, or however you would say that, back to the Lord and back to faith in Calvary and in Jesus Christ. Faith in eternal life, not in temporary life. Praise the Lord. Well, the Apostle Paul was losing his life, and he cried triumphantly, "I have kept the faith." He didn't say, "Oh, that blade is sharp, I'm losing the faith." No, he lost his head. He didn't lose the faith. He said so. We know he lost his head, and we know he didn't lose the faith. He said so. Praise the Lord. What about Job? When he was facing suffering and going through suffering and facing death, what did Job say? He said, "Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself and not another." Praise the Lord. My eyes are going to behold him. I'll see him for myself. Well, my body sees corruption. Now, see, that's the kind of faith that God is going to talk about here in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read both sides of the coin here. We're going to see both sides of this matter. The faith that does all these miracles for you, and the faith that gets you killed. Get you killed? Well, if you didn't have the faith, you might have lived a couple days longer. But because you had the faith, and you wouldn't recant, you wouldn't renounce your faith, they took your life. They didn't take your faith, they took your life. Amen. I hope everybody gets my point there. Amen. These are, you know, well, they died in faith. Paul said, "I kept the faith," and then he died in faith. Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith. Everybody he talked about up to that point, at least, and I suppose all the way through that 11th chapter of the heroes of faith in the book of Hebrews. And then Job. He faced death with faith. You know that Jesus Christ himself died in faith? He didn't need faith. He was God. He was man. He was God and man. As a man, he died in faith. I have preached this before, and I hope people will get this because there's such a blessing in it. Jesus said, and it's recorded in Psalm 16, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell," in the grave. "Thou wilt not leave my body in the grave. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. You won't suffer your Holy One to see corruption. It is finished." And he died knowing that the Father would not leave him in hell nor his body see corruption. Isn't that dying in faith? He expressed it there. We don't have it recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, but we have it recorded in Psalm 16. Just read those last few verses of Psalm 16. They are wonderful. Praise the Lord. So, we have to live in by faith and die in faith. I'll tell you the way not to die. If there's anybody here that's doubting, if there's anybody here that doesn't have faith, the way not to die is recorded in John 8:24. "For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." I trust that everybody under the sound of my voice this morning believes that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he's the Son of God, because if you don't, he himself said, you'll die in your sins. And that's the way not to die. Die, fine, but die in faith. Don't die in your sins. Amen. And I had another experience with a preacher. In fact, he was from another city, and he lives in another state now. But he prayed for a lot. He got saved out of a life of deep sin, and he got saved, and he prayed for a lot of people, and they were healed, and he was strong and healthy himself, younger, robust, well, a few years younger than me, but at that time he was young. And he became a Pentecostal pastor. I got another phone call. "Would you come to the hospital and visit Pastor so-and-so? So I went up there, and he said the same thing the other man had previously said. He started crying. This strong man started crying. He said, "I've lost the faith. I don't understand this. I don't understand God. What is God doing to me?" And he wept, and he wept. And I remembered the other situation, and I said the same thing. I said, "Brother, you didn't lose your faith. You've lost your health. You've lost your health, and God can still heal you. He can still heal you. Don't worry about it. Put it in the hands of God. Have faith in God. Have faith beyond healing. Healing is temporary. Do you know that every person that was on the earth contemporary with Jesus Christ, that he healed by his mighty power, is dead? Yeah.
Lazarus is dead.
Jesus raised him from the dead. Shouldn't he be healthy and live forever? It's the point when the man wants to die. You got to put it all together. That's the kind of faith we want to learn from this chapter. We want to learn that faith can get you things and you can lose things. And you can lose your leg, you can lose your health, but you don't have to lose your faith. Your faith can go beyond all of that. Now, don't give up on healing. I'm not giving up on healing. I still think I'm going to be healed some more before I die, if I die. I say if I die, if Jesus doesn't come first, which I strongly believe He will myself. And I'll keep believing until I die. Praise the Lord. So this man, I prayed for him and I left and God healed him. And he's preaching. He's been in many nations of the world, I think, or several nations of the world, preaching now again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So faith is more than just believing God for the things that I want. Understand me now. Faith is more than just believing God for the things I want. You know, we have that gimme mentality. Gimme. Gimme, God. We get up in the morning, oh God, gimme. Give me health again today, Lord. Give me food to eat today. Give me a good day, Lord. Give me protection when I get in the car. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. We have that mentality. But faith is more than just believing God for the things that I want so that I can have my way or do what I want to do. You see, the reason we think that way is we're more concerned about our affairs than we are His affairs. Jesus, wished ye not that I must be about my business, my Father's business, my Father's business. So, the Bible is a book that tells us what God wants. And I appreciate the attitude of some of you out there. I appreciate the attitude of all of you, I'm sure. But I mean, some of you out there have expressed your feelings to me. I appreciate your attitude. You will suffer if God can use it. That's the way so many of you feel. And I appreciate that, but don't suffer unnecessarily when there's healing for you. Let's take the healing. Praise the Lord. So, the Bible is a book that tells us what God wants, and faith is what God gives us so we can do what God wants us to do. Is that right? Faith is what God gives us so we can do what He wants us to do. Amen. He wanted that blind man at the gate beautiful to be healed. God wanted it. Peter didn't look at the blind man and say, oh, God, I want to look good now. Would you heal that man if I lay my hands on him? Lord, don't let me down, oh, Lord. No, it wasn't that at all. The man looked at Peter. Why look ye on us? You know, he said, here, do you have some alms? He said, no, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. He gave him what he had. He had faith in God to do that. Praise the Lord. I believe the Lord impressed Peter to do that suddenly. Somebody said faith is being available to do what God wants you to do. Making yourself available to do what God wants you to do. Something like that. I did a poor job transferring that to you. But we're prone to say when we get up, dear Jesus, I am going so and so, such and such a place today. Would you go with me, Lord? Would you go before me? Would you protect me, Lord? And I've done it myself. But we have that proneness to say, dear Jesus, I am going. Please follow me. Dear Jesus, I am going. Please lead me. Dear Jesus, I am going. Please go with me. Dear Jesus, I am going. Whether you like it or not, please go before me. You know, I added that little bit there. But so many times we have that attitude in prayer. I've done it myself. And I chide myself for it. I don't want to be like that. I want to get up like some good charismatic people I know that wake up in the morning, they kneel down and they say, Lord, what would you have me do today? Where would you have me go today? Lord, give me the sensitivity and the faith that when a sinner crosses my path, Lord, that you'll put your words in my mouth, that I might be your vessel. I tell you, I've had some people from other churches stir me up and inspire me. Praise the Lord. And I want what they've got. I want what they've got. Amen. So before we get up in the morning and pray, Lord, I'm going, please follow me. I'm going, please go with me. I'm going, please go before me. That's okay to pray, but I think first we ought to hear Jesus say to us when we wake up in the morning, you yawn, you know, and you stretch yourself. take up thy cross and follow me. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Can we hear him say that he'll lead the way? And he wants us to follow him, not him follow us, when we determine where we're going and what we're going to do. I like Psalm 23. In Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So he says, he leadeth me. He leadeth me beside the still water. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. I don't lead him, he leads me. He is not my servant, I am his servant. Praise the Lord. And if we can just get that down, you'll experience a much greater Christian walk. Amen. Well, somebody objected when I talked like that and said, well, no, it says that he'll follow you. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I said, yes, but only as you take up your cross and follow him. That's when goodness and mercy follow you. Praise the Lord. So when we talk about faith, what are we talking about? One person said, it says now faith. That means vibrant faith, anointed faith. That means current faith. That means now, right now, faith, now. That's not what it means, I don't think. I think it's just a continuation. Then the believer is saving his soul, then he says, now let's see. Have you ever said that? No. Right now, let's see. I don't think that's what we're saying. We're saying now faith is the substance. It's not an adjective, now faith, as though faith had to have an adjective before it in this case. No. It's just faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Okay, but we do have different kinds of faith. You knew that. Okay? If you want to read them, you certainly may, but Mark 4:40, Jesus said, have ye no faith? What? Have ye no faith? So there are people that are just faithless and unbelieving. No faith. Then he said in Luke 12:28, O ye of little faith. There are some people that just have a little bit of faith. And that's better than no faith. We're talking about the development of faith now. Just watch it. No faith, and then little faith. And then in Matthew 8:10, Jesus said, I have not seen so great faith. Great faith. So there's some people have no faith, some people have little faith, some people have great faith. It happened to be Gentile that had the great faith, not a Jew. So he said, I've not seen such great faith, no, not in Israel. Okay, in James 2:5, you read about rich faith. Peter talks about precious faith in 2 Peter 1:1. And then in Acts 6:5, we read where they were full of faith. They had to be full of faith. And then in James 22, it talks about perfect faith. But there are these different kinds of faith. And do you know that faith can increase? I want to read this to you. I think this is so good. But just follow this through. In 1 Corinthians 10:15, he says, no, not 1 Corinthians 10:15, 2 Corinthians 10:15. 2 Corinthians 10:15, listen, not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope. When your faith is increased, your faith can grow. You see, some people, Brother Davis and I were talking about this, some people get saved and they never develop Bible reading habits. They never develop a prayer life. They get saved and stagnate and stink. They don't grow. Your faith is supposed to grow. We should have more faith, constantly. That's what he's talking about here. When your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. But now turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to verses 3 and 4. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Oh, I would love to have a letter from Jesus saying that, my son, your faith is growing exceedingly. Wouldn't it be terrible to get a note from him, a little memo, and saying, you stagnated. Your faith is not growing. You need to start growing. Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? I haven't heard from you in a long time. You haven't read about me in a long time. That's why our faith doesn't grow. If you're saved today and you've never developed a prayer life and you have never developed a Bible reading life, then you need to do that so that your faith can grow, and let it grow exceedingly, praise God. Because God wants to do great and wonderful things for us. Not with the results just in this life, but with eternal results. That's where martyrdom comes in, with eternal results. Look at John the Baptist. I mean, you know how it is today. Ministers want a brief training period, and they want a long, illustrious, productive ministry. I've been in the ministry 50 years, or 60 years, and so on. Here's another guy. How many souls have you won, sir? I won one once. And here comes another guy. How long have you been in the ministry? 3 months. How many did you win? Thousands. What do we count? The long, illustrious ministry or the compressed, power-packed ministry? See, we'd like a brief training period and a long, successful ministry. John the Baptist didn't have that. He had a 30-year training period and a 3-month ministry. His name's in the book. We're going to sit down with him one day. The Bible says, sit down with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets. And John the Baptist was a prophet. What went you on the wilderness for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written. Praise God, praise God. So let your faith grow. Let your faith grow. Don't look for beautiful, wonderful results in this life only. Don't misunderstand me. Look for them in this life, but not in this life only. If God calls on you for a 3-month ministry, be faithful. It's probably John the Baptist would have been a failure had he not had a long training period. Down by the Jordan all alone, skipping stones across the river, and meditating on God. Say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Yes, I'll go baptize. How did John know how to baptize? He that said unto me, go baptize. I think he was told in the wilderness. Praise the Lord. I want to read this in closing. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. And I don't think there's anything that makes a pastor happier than to see his saints, the saints and the church he pastors, faith grow exceedingly. Oh, let your faith grow. Praise the Lord. And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Okay, your faith is growing exceedingly so that we ourselves glory in you. I go to other churches and I tell about that church over there in Thessalonica, however you pronounce it. Okay, I go tell them about you folks because your faith is growing so fast. Paul said of Rome, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And here he says, your faith groweth exceedingly, and I'm talking about you in other churches, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience. Do you know what patience is? Tribulation worketh patience. You want patience? Prepare for tribulation. Your patience and your faith in all your persecutions. I thought faith would deliver me from persecutions. No, it prepares you for persecutions. Faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Somebody said to me once in this church, they said, I used to think that faith was if you prayed for something and it happened. But I read Revelation chapter 13, verse 10. It says, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I was going to go through that chapter. We won't have time now. But the church is in the midst of war. The church is in the midst of tribulation. The church is in the midst of trouble. The church is facing death. And it looks like the devil is winning. And then, all of a sudden, John the Revelator stops and writes when he sees the church in the midst of this spiritual warfare that's taking its toll on the saints. And he says, here is the faith and patience of the saints. Or here is the patience and faith of the saints. Put it together. Put it together. It's the kind of faith that makes you say in the midst of war, I believe. When it seems like the devil is winning, I believe. When you're facing death, you look up and you say, I believe. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand.